All right. Part of me wanted to watch that just because it's been so hot lately, and so that just cools me off a little bit. But as I was looking and preparing for this message this morning, the image of that blizzard mentality of what it's like in a complete whiteout, and I don't know. Around here, we don't have the same wind as what I grew up with. Where I grew up, if there was any kind of snow at all, it all of a sudden became a whiteout really fast because of the nature of our wind and stuff up there. So I understand that to a certain extent. I've never tried to go, too far in the snow and that kind of stuff. I tried to stay inside as much as possible. But that idea of a rope in those dangerous times is important, right? And we look at our lives, and I was thinking about my life, especially in the last few months here, especially in the month of June, is that sometimes our lives can feel like a blizzard. There's a swirling of activities, there's schedules to keep, meetings to keep up with. We go to ball games, everything else in life, everything just kind of swirls around us and creates kind of a blizzard type of activities. And so sometimes even we look at people in our culture and we look and our heroes are people that have all of these things going on and are doing all these different things and seem to be full in their schedules, and we look up to them. And so we just run to the next and the next thing. And in fact, that's we're between full and overflowing in the midst of a lot of our lifestyle and a lot of our choices. In fact, I think I read somewhere this week, I know I read somewhere this week, that family gatherings, it's harder to get together and be a part of those, right? Of getting together for, it's less and less we seem to be doing that with family, especially maybe as we get older, our siblings. I know a couple weeks ago we were in Mount Rushmore with my brothers and my parents and their families, and we said, I think my brother or my sister-in-law said, we need to get these boys together more often because my oldest boys are the same age as their two boys, and just being able to spend that time together. In fact, at funerals, I hear that all the time, right? We need to get better together more often and in better circumstances, right? When funerals are the only time we get together with family anymore, it's unfortunate. But that's the nature of the way we've built our lives. And even if you don't feel like you've got to swirl activities, I know some of you don't have all of these things going on, maybe like I do with young kids and different things going on. Sometimes even the times that we have that we're supposed to be restful and are quiet, they're not necessarily very peaceful. And I think a lot of that comes because of the way our minds race in our culture now. And we always are worried about this thing, or we're worried about what's going to come up. Even if it's a week or a month down the road, we get a lot of things and activities and ideas in our minds, and it's hard to find real peaceful rest. It's hard to slow down, not just slow down, but to even stop to a large extent. I think I've said this before, I'm a lot like my dad. And I was reminded of this when we were on vacation a couple weeks ago too, is my dad doesn't seem to know how to sit down. I think he's lost the ability to bend his knees at this point. I shouldn't give him too bad of it, because I'm the same way, so I can give him a little bit of a bad time. But we just get so, he's just always doing something, and every time I see him, he's always got a new idea of something to do. But it's only recently that that he went to part-time on one of his two full-time jobs. And so he's just that going, going, going. And again, I don't have the same work ethic he does. I have the same ideas that he has. I just don't do as much as he does. But we're that way. And again, whether we're busy with activities or work or things going on, or we're busy with things in our mind or racing and what to do next and all these kind of things distracting us, it's so hard to focus on what's important. And so this morning, what I was reminded of with this video especially is sometimes in that, whether it's in our mind or whether it's our activities or whatever, we need a rope to hold on to, right? We need to focus our attention and our purpose back to get back home. And we know as followers of Jesus, that if we hold on to that rope, it's that cycle, it's that pattern of returning back to God. And we know we need that on a day-to-day basis. And I could spend a whole message on the day-to-day time where we need to slow down. We need to spend that time with God, whether it's, 15 minutes, an hour, 2 hours daily, so we're connecting back to God. But I also truly believe, and I've learned this over the last about 10, 15 years, is how important it is to stop the regular cycle of our day-to-day and just really stop. I mean, slowing down is great, and we need to do that on a day-to-day basis, but there's a time where we just need to stop. And if you notice the screen, it's the sermon series we're doing is called Signs, and today is the stop sign. And so there's plenty of them, even just in our block. So if you just want to drive around the church, you'll stop, I think, at every corner more than, and anyway, there's this reminder to stop. And in our culture, it's so hard to do that. In fact, how many of you would probably roll through stop signs more often than you fully stop? That's me. Yeah, I'm the same way, right? That's the nature of the way we live our lives, though, too, is we roll through stop signs instead of actually stopping. And to me, this morning, what we're going to look at in this idea of stopping regularly, I want to focus on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath sounds like an Old Testament thing. It sounds like something that, well, the Jews did, the Israelites did. What does that mean for us today? But I think it's still so, so important for us, even if we're not Christians, to find a way to Sabbath in some way, even those that aren't followers of Jesus. And I would say that we're going to see that in here in just a minute, that stopping is just a human thing we need. And so if you've got your Bibles or a Bible app, we're going to be looking at a few different verses. We're going to start with Exodus 20, 8 through 11. And the Sabbath, just in general, and we'll see what God tells us in Exodus here. But the Sabbath for the Israelites at that time was a weekly activity, right? Every seventh day they were supposed to stop. And so from Friday night at sunset, around sunset, I think, to Saturday night at sunset, they would just stop. They wouldn't do activities. They wouldn't do work. They wouldn't do things that would take them away from their family and ultimately from God, and they would focus their attention differently. And I think that's an important part of this, and we'll talk more about that. But in the midst of this Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, we get this highlighted one of the Sabbath. And so in verses 8 through 11, we see this. I set my clicker down. There it is. Should not do that. All right. Starts this. It says, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner," sojourner who is within your gate. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy." If you are looking at your Bibles and you have your Bible in front of you, you'll notice that there are kind of two longer sections in these Ten Commandments, verses 4 through 6, and then these verses 8 through 11. It's interesting that those two are expanded upon. They are given emphasis in a detail that we're given about them. Verses 4 through 6 are about carved images and idols that shouldn't be worshipped. But then the longest, actually, probably, and especially in verses, is this one on the Sabbath. And that doesn't mean that it's more important than the other commandments. It's not like, you know, this is more important than not murdering, right? But it does remind me, anyway, to say that there's an important enough emphasis put on this that God's going to expand on it and explain it to us. And there's a couple things that really stick out in these verses for me is that, first, it's about, it's inclusive to everyone. This is an equitable commandment. It's not just for the patriarch, the fathers of the families, but it's for their spouses, it's for their sons, daughters, livestock, right? And he even talks about their slaves. And he says the sojourner, or the foreigner, those that are coming from other countries, those that aren't Israelites, that are living with them. This is for everyone. This is not, you know, doesn't matter where you're on the social economic status or anything like that, everyone needs to do this, which is why I think it's so important, why it's a human thing. It's not just a Christian thing or a Jewish thing, it's a human thing to need this stopping, to slow down enough so that we can set this one day aside. And so I think that's important because we all know people that work 60, 70, 80 hours a week probably, right? It's not me. That's not me. Right? God bless them, but they need a rest. We all probably know they need a rest. But even those people that work 10, 15, 20 hours a week still need a rest as well. And so no matter where we're at in that status of our work or whether we have very little work to do or very little required of us, we all need, it's an equal opportunity command. And again, the command isn't just a command, there's a reason behind it. And I think it's so important for us to hold on to this last verse here to why God says it's important. He doesn't say do it because it's good for you. He doesn't say do it because, well, I'm commanding you to do it. He says, no, do it because that's what I did. For 6 days I created heavens, earth, everything that's in them, and then I rested. And so this may be pushing it too hard, but my thought process is that if God says, I did this, so you do it, and we don't do it, we're kind of slapping God in the face a little bit, right? Right? If I tell my kids to do something because, and this is, you know, I did this, and so it's good for you to do this, and they don't do it, part of me just rolls my eyes and says, okay, you'll learn, I'm sure, but maybe they won't. But part of me also is a little offended, right? Well, if I need to do this, then how much more do you need to do this, right? And God's saying the same thing. If I did this, how much more do you as humans, frail, fragile humans need this as well. And so there's that precedence to say that going back to creation, before the law, before the commandments, to say this is what I did, this is what you need to do as well. And so there's that stopping, that time where we set it aside. And again, it's this idea of this holiness, which reminds me that this isn't just physical, right? I definitely need physical rest on a regular basis, right? Especially after a week with five kids running around, I'd need a day where I just rest a lot, right, physically. But we also need the emotional and the spiritual and all other kinds of rest. In fact, for me, a lot of times, the Sabbath isn't so much as sleeping in, which I try to do, and apparently I'm getting old, because I think you're old if you can't sleep past 8 o'clock, right? Isn't that the rule? I don't know. 7 o'clock, if you can't believe that. But I shouldn't make comments like that. I've probably offended several of you. But the idea, I try to sleep in. I don't sleep in that much because it's not so much I'm physically tired, but I'm just tired of making decisions. I'm tired of, you know, breaking up fights. I'm tired of, you know, these things that are just day-to-day part of life that I just don't want to deal with for a day. And I think for a lot of us, that's where we're at, right? We just need that day where we're just, I'm not making any decisions. I'm not planning any meals. I'm not doing anything other than just being. Right? And it's set aside to do those kinds of things. And for me, my mental health has probably been the thing that's benefited the most from taking that day of a Sabbath. And so looking at all these things and recuperating and letting our bodies rest, but our minds and our souls rest as well is a big part of this, which is why I think God says it's holy. Holiness means set apart. Holiness means it's distinct and separate, but it's distinct and separate for a purpose. And so there's a couple of verses I want to look at in this context as well. And the next one is Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 24 through 27. And again, Jeremiah's speaking a few hundred years, probably about 500 years before Jesus comes. And he's explaining to the people the expectation. And really, he talks a lot about this new covenant and what's going to look like, this new relationship that they're going to have with God. But in the midst of all of that, he gives this, I think, is really interesting teaching on what it means to have the Sabbath. And so Jeremiah 17, verse 24 through 27, it says, Jeremiah speaking for God says, "But if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates," and that's just an image for commerce. It's bringing your produce, bringing what you've, you know, your animals, things like that, to come and sell at the market. "So you bring no burden by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but you keep the Sabbath day holy, set apart, and you do no work on it, then there shall enter by your gates of the city kings and princes who will sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their officials, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall be inhabited forever." Right? These are blessings. There's going to be a king on the throne. There's going to be chariots, horses, power, and authority. There's going to be some living in the city is going to last forever. More blessings, he says, "The people shall come from the cities of Judah, from the places of Jerusalem, land of Benjamin, from the Shephelah," another hard word, "Shephelah, the hill country, from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, grain offerings, and frankincense, bringing thanks to the Lord, the house of the Lord." And all that is basically saying you're going to have it good. You're going to have a settled situation, of circumstances where you're going to be able to come and participate in what you want to participate in. The mentioning of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, grain offering, frankincense, is this image of you're going to be able to be so settled that you're going to have peaceful worship. You're going to be able to come and honor me and do the things that you desire to do for me. But only, he says, if you keep the Sabbath. But then there's the curse. He says, "But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched." So all these wonderful things are going to happen if you obey me and you keep the Sabbath. All of this horrible thing of basically you're going to be destroyed if you don't. And I'm going to take a step back and say, he seems to be mentioning the Sabbath is kind of the salvation element, right? You have to keep the Sabbath or you're not going to be saved. I don't think that's Jeremiah's ultimate point. Because if you look at the whole of Jeremiah, the purpose of the way that the relationship with God and the blessings and the curse happen is dependent on the relationship we have, the covenant we have with him. He mentions Sabbath particularly, and I think that's important. Because he's highlighting a way that we express our obedience. Does that make sense? The way we express our obedience can look different at different times for different people. But for him and Jeremiah at this point in time, and for the people at that point in time where they're living, the Sabbath was an essential part of that. And in my mind, as I processed this, I thought, you know, what is an act of our faith that we participate in regularly, or especially when we come to faith? And I thought of baptism, right? Baptism is a sign of an expression of the faith, the belief and the trust that we have in God, and we take those steps to participate in that. And in some ways, God is saying the Sabbath is a lot like that. It's a way that we express our faith in who God is and what he's done, and we trust him to give a whole day to him, right? And that's a lot of commitment, right? That's a whole day set aside for us to honor, worship, and rest and enjoy God is a fairly major commitment, right? We have a lot of things planned in our life. We have a lot of things we want to do, right? We have all these activities in this, you know, that swirling storm, that blizzard-like activities in our mind. How can I set a whole side a day, you know, whole day aside, hold it, whichever way you say it, right? How can I do that and accomplish all that I want to accomplish? And so it takes trust. It takes saying, God, I'm going to trust you with everything else, so that that this one day is set aside for you and for me to be able to rest and rejuvenate and those kind of things as well. And so the blessings that we see in Jeremiah 17 here are different than the blessings we will get. We're not promised specifically that we're going to live forever in our community. We're not going to, you know, we're not promised that America is going to stay the way it is forever, you know. We're not promised that we're going to be destroyed if we don't keep the Sabbath, right? This isn't for us specifically, but the blessing versus the curse is, I think, a part of the Sabbath. I would say greatly, probably participating in the Sabbath over the last 10 or so years myself, has been one of the greatest blessings that I've had in my faith. To be able to change and adjust my schedule, to be able to spend that time to rest and rejuvenate, has changed the way that I live, has changed the way and my emotional state and all those kinds of things. And so the blessings I certainly have seen. And before I took the Sabbath, I could definitely see the negative side effects and also, and maybe the curse that comes with it. One other verse I want to highlight, and then we'll kind of bring these all together, is in, where are we at? Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. And again, these images that we see here in bringing things to the, bringing the burden to the gate is this image of work, of doing business, of the things that make us money and focus. Really, a lot of when we're not, when we don't take a Sabbath, a lot of the work in the world becomes about us. And we'll see that here, I think, in Isaiah as well. So Isaiah 58, starting in verse 13. And Isaiah tells us, he says, or God speaking through Isaiah says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasures or talking idly, which I think is an interesting part of this, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, and for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, a huge emphasis given by Isaiah of taking this Sabbath, of resting and slowing down. And it's interesting. In the first part of this verse, he talks about this idea of pleasure, from doing your pleasure. And really, that's focusing on us and what we can get out of things. Really, that word pleasure can also actually mean business, conducting business. And so it's really taking a step back, and it's adjusting our schedule so that things don't always look the same. Because I found, and maybe you've seen this as well, when day-to-day, if everything's kind of the same, it's easy to focus on us. Well, it's my time. It's my money. I've earned this. I've done this. It's mine, me, me, me. It's about my pleasure. But when we take that Sabbath, we realize that those 24 hours, if we truly focus on what God is doing in those 24 hours and what he can do, that time becomes about God. And so those 24 hours aren't what I can accomplish. It's not about getting things done at the house or at work or anything like that. It's 24 hours that's entirely given to God. And he gets to use it kind of however he wants. I mean, we get to choose and be a participate how we need to rest and those kind of things. But it means that those 24 hours aren't going to benefit me other than, aren't going to benefit me financially and those kind of things. And so I think that adjustment in that schedule, I think, is a big part of this. And so it is about delighting, because he talks about delighting in this holy day and delighting in the Lord, but it's a different kind of delight than the selfish pleasures that we get in different ways as well. And so what I want to, before we jump into the last little bit here, what I just want to emphasize is that the Sabbath looks different for different people, and it's different days for different people. For me, I take a Sabbath, usually, it's always been Mondays, but now with the schedule with the kids and stuff, I take the Monday and the Saturday of the week I don't have my kids, because I can't rest with five kids running around. There's always decisions to be made or something to do or something like that, so I can't really rest the way I want to. And so I've adjusted it to be that way for my schedule. And for you, it might not work to do it on Sundays, which has kind of become the Christian Sabbath, which makes a lot of sense. But maybe Saturdays or Wednesdays or something else fits where you're at as well. But the Sabbath, again, is a lot of different things, and we'll talk can be a lot of different things, but we'll talk about that more in a minute. But what it's not is accomplishing anything. And I've noticed in my life, if you go into my house right now, my house is a little messier. It's always been kind of messy, but it's a little messier because I take that day and set it aside. The garden always has looked awful, but it looks a little bit worse because I said I don't work on that 24 hours and don't work in the garden. I don't do those kind of things. I always have dishes by the sink because I just always have dishes by the sink. But part of that's because of those 24. You know, there's things that don't get done as quickly as they could get done. And I know that would drive some of you crazy, right? The fact that I mentioned dishes at my house is like, look, you can go and clean them if you want. If it bothers you that much, you go right ahead. I'll wait for you, actually. But, you know, that just drives some of us crazy not getting these things done in a timely and effective manner. But I think that is a part of the need for the Sabbath, is we let some of that stuff go. Well, it's okay. That thing can wait a day, right? The dishes aren't going anywhere. Yes, there's a few more flies. Okay, there's not. I'm just kidding. But maybe fruit flies. But, you know, it's just, there's a little bit more of a mess on the floor. There's a little bit, you know, this isn't going to take care of, that's not going to take care of. But it can wait a day. Because those 24 hours are so important to just stop. To just say, nope, I'm not going to go in the garden. I'm not going to take care of this. I'm not going to take care of that. It can wait a day. And even those of us, and just thinking about the Israelites and their focus, you know, farmers, those that have those day-to-day kind of taking care of animals and that kind of stuff, there's usually a way to figure out not even to worry about those things for a day. I mean, if the Israelites, who are strongly agricultural society, can take a day and not take care of these things, we can find a way too. And so that 24 hours really ultimately to me becomes about that trust. Do I trust God enough to say 1/7 of my week is completely set aside, and so I'm going to get everything else done in 6 days? What I'm going to tell you, and I thought of this week, and I thought this is something I need to remember, is we're all going to die with things on our to-do list to do yet, right? That's what's going to happen. I mean, we're going to pass away, and there's going to be a to-do list in our mind, written on the fridge somewhere, that we didn't get done. And if that's going to be the case, then why do we get so caught up in getting it done now? Right, and so focused on getting it done. I need to get it done this week. I can't take a day of rest on Saturday or whenever because it needs to get done. But it doesn't, because our to-do list is never, ever going to get done. And so, again, stopping for the Sabbath is really about that surrender. In fact, I think it reorients our entire life. When I think about doing things and getting things accomplished, I always keep that in mind, and I always focus on, okay, what do I need to get done today and tomorrow in order for that day, Saturday or whatever, Monday or whatever, to really be a day of rest? And it really, I think, starts me thinking throughout my whole week, throughout all of my time, more and more about God, because that day is set aside for Him and for me to rest and enjoy Him. And so the day doesn't necessarily need to be filled. In fact, my day yesterday was mostly filled with video games and TV. So that was my Sabbath yesterday. And so Sabbath isn't necessarily all about praying and spending time in our Bibles and meditating and all of these spiritual things that we think about, but it's finding a way to cut away the things that aren't necessities, right? I still ate and, you know, got things, and I had a lot of coffee yesterday, right? We still do the things that are, you know, to survive, but what aren't necessary that we need to, that I can set aside till tomorrow? And so reorients the entire way that we focus on our lives. And so there's four things that I just want to leave with you this morning. Is four things to think about with this idea of Sabbath. And the first one is just the stop. And if we can do that, I guarantee that changes a lot for a lot of us. Really just stopping, really just saying, okay, not going any farther. I'm stopping right here. knowing our limits, knowing that God is God and we are not, right? God is indispensable. All of us are dispensable. We are replaceable in different ways, right? The world will continue if we take that day off, right? Sometimes I like to tell myself it won't, but it does. It's crazy how that works, right? I take a day off and all of a sudden the sun rises the next morning. I don't know. Anyway, but the Sabbath is just that day to set aside and to focus on who God is, what he's accomplished, thinking maybe even about creation like we saw in Exodus, right? What did God do when he rested on that seventh day? And we focus on creation, the things that he's done. It doesn't have to look like anything, I think, in particular. But it's just stopping for that time to say, okay, I trust you, God. I trust that things are going to be taken care of, that the sun will rise, and we'll make it to the end. In fact, I found this story this week about a wagon train going of Christians that were going from St. Louis up to Oregon. And they were traveling in kind of the fall time period, and they were making pretty good progress, but they were stopping on every Sabbath. So every Saturday, or maybe every Sunday at that time, they were stopping and spending that day of Sabbath rest. Well, as winter approached, they got nervous. They got a little scared that they weren't going to make it up to where they wanted to before the snow starts and it got harder and harder. Well, what happened is they split. And so one group said, okay, we're going to stop doing the Sabbath so that we can make it up to Oregon faster. We're going to work 7 days straight and, you know, travel 7 days straight. The other group said, no, we're going to continue to rest on the Sabbath. And so what do you think happened? These two groups basically then raced up to Oregon to see who made it there the fastest, the one that didn't take the Sabbath versus the one that did. Which group made it there first? The one that took the rest, right? We know that that's the moral of the story. But, right, that's the nature of it, though. The horses were more rested. You know, people were more rested. They were able to do more in those 6 days with a day of rest than the 7 days that the other group was traveling. And so there's importance to stopping, and we can actually, I would say I'm as productive or more productive working 6 days on things at the house, a job, and different things like that than I was ever in seven. The second thing to do is to rest. And again, this isn't just physical rest. This is emotional, spiritual rest as well. Finding ways to just say, just breathe a little bit, right? And I think of this, this is where the blizzard kind of sticks out to me is you get so anxious. And I don't know, you guys get white knuckled when you're driving in a blizzard. I just get so nervous and scared. And as much as I've done it, I feel like I've done it so much in my life, that it always still kind of makes me so anxious and builds up all this anxiety. I think that happens in life, is if we don't, when we finally reach our destination, we just kind of stop and relax, but we're like exhausted, right? But it's the same way in life, is we get so white-knuckled because of so many things happening and so many things going on that we need to take that time to just that rest and that calm that we need in our regular schedule and our regular life. The third thing is like Isaiah said, is that idea of delight, of just enjoying the day, enjoying the things that we have around us. God created so many things in our world for us to enjoy that we need to take delight in what he's provided. And sometimes maybe that's spending a lot of time in the Bible. Maybe that is spending a lot of time praying. That's wonderful. But maybe it's going out and walking through nature. Maybe that's taking a drive. Maybe that's just sitting outside and reading or enjoying the flowers. Maybe it is weeding. Some people seem to find that therapeutic. I find that always irritating. So that is not a delight for me. But for the most part, it's things that just give us a sense of life and enjoyment. And part of that's obviously focusing on what God's doing in our world, but it's partly just the things that we enjoy in life. Like I said, I like video games and TV, and so that's what my delight is, and I just sit and rest, and it's so much more relaxing to lay on the couch and watch something than it is to do lots of other things in this world. And so it's just that delight. And I've actually found, and I don't know if this makes sense to you or not, but I'll start I'll do something for about 15 minutes, and it's enjoyable and a delight, but then after 15 minutes, I really start to hate it. Anybody else do projects like that? I'll start working on something. I was working on the house over here that I bought, and working on the outside, and for about the first hour or two, I was really enjoying it, getting it kind of cleaned up and fixed up and that kind of stuff. After that, it just started to become work. I was sweat dripping down, and it just was a pain. If that had been my Sabbath, I wouldn't have done that project on a Sabbath anyway. But I think there's times where we start something. Maybe we enjoy being outside and picking, you know, the weeds out of our flowers or something for 15 minutes or, you know, half hour. But then it starts to become a chore. Then we stop losing that delight. Then we need to, then as part of a Sabbath, just need to stop. Do something else that we find a joy and a delight in. When I get mad at my video games, that's when I realize I need to start doing something else. When I throw the controller. I haven't done that since I was a kid, so. Probably a young adult, I stopped doing that. Okay, anyway. Delight. Finding ways to just enjoy the world and the so many things that God has provided us to do and enjoy. And the last thing is to contemplate. And this is one thing where I don't spend as much time contemplating, and I need to really put that as part of my Sabbath, is just contemplate who God is and what he's done. And again, I think part of that is natural with the Sabbath in general, but I also think it's a purposeful part of our Sabbath as well. Is to, again, it's set aside. It's a holy day for God, and it allows us to be able to just focus and rest in him, that he is able to speak and breathe new life into us for us to step into a new role or a new week. However that looks. And so stopping, again, the word Sabbath means stop. It means cease. And then we rest and we delight, we contemplate, we focus on what God has done and is doing. And I think that we become more thankful then too. As we slow down and we say, okay, I'm thankful for this and this is happening and this is going on. All the bad things tend to kind of get to the surface in the middle of a blizzard. But once we slow down, we start to see the good things that rise up as well. And so with all that, stopping is hard. And for some of us, I think stopping is harder than others. But it's so, I think, so important. And again, like Exodus 20 said, it's not just a faith thing. It's not just a religious thing. It's a human thing. And if we're not stopping enough to say, okay, I'm going to breathe and I'm going to rest, I'm going to hold. And if we're not holding on to that rope, we can so easily lose our focus and our attention on the things that are going on around us, and ultimately being drawn back to him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so thankful that you've given us this blessing of a Sabbath. I pray, Lord, that you continue to lead and guide and direct us in such a way that we can rest purposely and wholeheartedly in what you're doing and what you want to accomplish in our world. Lord, I pray that you lead and guide and direct us. If we don't right now do a Sabbath, Lord, just remind us of how wonderful and purposeful it is for us to do that. If we do a Sabbath, Lord, I just pray that you help us to contemplate more and more on who you are and what you've done for us, helping us to reorient our lives so it's not about the day-to-day monotonous routine, but that we have a time set aside for us to focus on who you are and what you've done for us. And we can rest and breathe and relax in the midst of the blizzard of our lives and holding on to that rope that can lead us back to you. And we pray this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.